Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer and I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon, and we pray that you are encouraged, challenged, and ultimately that you are drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
Amen. Christmas is a time of preparation. We go to the stores and we do tons of shopping. We actually, most of the entire month of December, for some of you it's even longer, the entire month is spent preparing for Christmas. I hope I'm not stressing any of you out as I talk about preparations for Christmas. It can be a stressful time for some. We start by setting up Christmas trees, hanging Christmas lights from the outside of our homes. We decorate our homes and places of work. We go get pictures with Santa. We sing Christmas carols. We listen to our favorite artist's Christmas album. I'd highly recommend Michael Bublé Christmas and James Taylor Christmas. Exceptional. We bake cookies, we make shortbread, we're making gingerbread houses, we're buying food for gatherings and parties, we're going to parties, we're buying big turkeys to prepare big Christmas meals. Like I said, Christmas shopping, buying gifts for each other, we get pictures taken and send out Christmas cards to all our friends and family. We fill stockings and we do chocolate advent Christmas calendar. Anyone? Yes, come on. And I could go on and on and on and on. The entire month of December is all about preparing for Christmas Day, where we spend time with family and friends, eating food and opening presents. And this, at least in the Western world, is Christmas. The season of Advent, however, that the Christian church follows, the Christian calendar follows, it is a time that we prepare for Christ. Well, we celebrate Christ's first coming, but we prepare with anticipation for his second coming. Christmas nowadays has become very commercialized, and many people don't think about the true meaning of Christmas. But as we prepare as a church, we remember Christ's birth, his first coming, and we remember, we anticipate his second coming. One of my favorite songs is by The Upper Room, and it's a song called Getting Ready. And it's all about the second coming of Jesus, what we are looking for, that one day we will be completely present with him, gazing upon his beauty, and being with him entirely. And the course talks about how we are getting ready for that day, where we are getting ready for his return. And today we look at the arrival of a messenger with his message. It's a message of preparing for the coming king, for that day. It was the 6th century BC, and God's people, the Israelites, had been taken captive by their enemies because of their rebellion and their disobedience to the Lord. And they had spent roughly 70 years in exile in Babylon. They were in a foreign land living under an oppressive government, and things weren't going too hot for them. And 1,500 years prior, God had told a man named Abraham that through his descendants, he would bless the families and the nations of the world. And then years later, he would tell David that that through David's throne, God would lead the world, that God would bring a world, a savior through David's throne. And so now, as these Israelites are in captivity in Babylon during Isaiah's time, the people had either forgotten about the promises of God or they just didn't believe the promises of God anymore. And they were instead aligning themselves with the world, the false promises of the world. And so the prophet Isaiah is called upon to bring a message of hope. God says, bring a word to the exiles, the brokenhearted people, and tell them that I'm going to bring them out of exile. I'm going to be their savior. I'm going to bring them back to Jerusalem, their hometown. And that I will be their savior, that the nations of the world will see that I, God, am the deliverer. I am their deliverer. I am their salvation. And that they will experience the true fullness of what God had for them. And so this is what Isaiah's message was in Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain hill shall be made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord had spoken. Jump forward 700 years after this message of hope went out to the people, and the people of God are again living under an oppressive Roman government. And they are a corrupt and power-hungry government, and the people of God had not heard a prophet speak the words of God in 460 years. And God seemed to be completely silent. And at the perfect time, God opens up the heavens and sends forth a prophet named John, and he is like the prophet Isaiah. And God speaks to a man in the wilderness, which brings us to our text today, Luke 3, verses 1 through 6. So if you have your Bibles, feel free to open them up and follow along, or on the screen, the verses will be there as well. Luke 3, 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being the tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, tetrarch of Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, and the son of Zechariah in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the words in the book of Isaiah, the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh will see the salvation of God. John's message is, a king is coming. A king is coming. Prepare the way. Get ready for the king. And the writer Luke here is very intentional of how he starts off his letter. He starts off by giving us a list of names, which gives us a context into what Luke is, or yeah, what what's happening during this time. And now, typically when I see a list of names in the Bible, my eyes start to glaze over and I just tend to flip the page, if I'm quite honest. But names are incredibly important because they give us a context for what is happening. Who these individuals are matter. So Tiberius Caesar is the Caesar, or he's the Roman emperor of the day. He's the most powerful man in the world at this time, and he's known for his cruelty and severity against the Jewish people. Pontius Pilate, anyone recognize that name? No one? Gotta be kidding me. Okay, so a few of you know who this gentleman is. Under his leadership, Jesus was crucified, and he was known to be incredibly brutal towards the Jewish people. There were massacres. He carried out massacres of the Jewish people and was incredibly cruel to them. And then we have three other individuals, Herod, Philip, and Licinius. They're all three tetrarchs, and they are as well. They're all about power, they're all about money, they're incredibly cruel and corrupt leaders. And these guys are leaders of different areas of the Roman Empire. And then the last two individuals that we see are Annas and Caiaphas. And they are, Luke names them the high priest, singular. However, there's two of them, which is incredibly interesting and ironic, because there's only supposed to be one high priest, and there's two. So this would point to an incredibly corrupt situation, an incredibly weird situation. It would be like having two presidents of the United States or two prime ministers of Canada. So what was going on here was the Roman government had recently taken out Annas, and however, he was still exerting his authority through Caiaphas, and they were kind of like co-leaders, and they were just really bad people doing corrupt things, and they were more interested in playing power politics than serving God or serving the people of God. And so that's what is going on here in this this time. And Luke mentions all these high-ranking officials, all these important people, but then he has this one phrase, and the word of the Lord came to John. The word of the Lord came to John. Now, many of us would think that the word of the Lord would come to Tiberius Caesar, the most powerful man in the world at the time, or at least it would come to a high priest. Right, the most powerful man in the priesthood, and the most, the one that would connect people to God. Of course, the word of the Lord would come to the high priest. But no, the word of the Lord comes to John. John's not a high-ranking official. He's not a politician. He's not a high priest. Who is John? John is a rejected prophet living in a dry and barren land. He is living in the wilderness, eating locusts and honey, and the word of the Lord comes to him. It doesn't come to Tiberius Caesar. It doesn't come to any of the high-ranking officials. It doesn't come to a place in Rome or Jerusalem. It comes in a barren land. Many people, like I said, would think that the word of the Lord would come to important people. But if you remember back to our series in the fall, VIP, the world's VIPs are incredibly different than God's VIPs. The world's VIPs are the popular people. They're the celebrities. They're the leaders, the high-ranking officials. But God's VIPs are rejected prophets living in the desert. I love what Richard Neal Donovan writes. He says, the wilderness always The wilderness also seems like an unlikely place for the word of the Lord. However, throughout Israel's history, the wilderness is where God has shaped his people. It is where the nation of Israel was forged, and it's where prophets did much of their work. He continues on, he says, God continues to do work in the wilderness of our lives today. We are most open to hearing God's word when life seems most barren. God seems to do his best work when we are in dry and barren places, when we are going through incredibly difficult times, when all seems lost, when there's nothing else to hold on to except God himself. If you're in a desert right now, I want to encourage you, expect God to speak in the desert. Expect a message of hope. The salvation of the Lord is near. Luke continues on in his book, and he says this of John the Baptist. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So John's message was that of repentance. Turn back to the Lord. Turn from your unrighteous ways. This was a standard message as an Old Testament prophet. Actually, in the Old Testament prophetic books, you would see this word repent over 1,000 times by the prophets. It was them calling the people back to God. Come back to God. Leave your sinful ways. Now, I understand that the word repent is not popular. It's not, especially in our culture, it reeks of judgment. But this word repent means to turn away from your life that is leading you to destruction and turn back to God. Leave your sin behind. Leave your ways that are destroying your lives and turn back to God because he is the one who brings salvation. Rethink your current state of actions. It involves a mental change about one's attitudes towards their actions. It also requires an emotional response of regret and remorse and hatred towards one's spiritual condition. And this to the people would have been a message of hope. There's one coming who could save them. There's one who could deliver them from their destructive lives. The messenger had a message. Turn from your sin and turn back to God that he might save you. Lay aside your idolatry. Lay aside the things that would keep you from experiencing the fullness of your relationship with God. Turn to him. And then we see this message from the book of Isaiah. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh will see the salvation of the Lord. In Cochrane right now, there's a lot of construction taking place. Thank you, God, for the road construction. Amen? Can I get an amen? There's a lot of construction going on right now. There's roads, new roads being built, and there's huge excavators, and they are literally taking huge hills, mountains, and they are making them low. And they are taking the valleys, the low parts, and they are bringing them up, and they are building a highway that Cochranites can drive on and not be stuck in traffic for hours. This is a good thing. This is good news. Preach it. This is no different then what would happen when a king in ancient times would come into a city. There would be a messenger that would go out before the king would arrive, and this messenger would say, "Prepare the way for the king. The mountains that you see, bring them low. The valleys that are there, bring them up. Make the path straight for the king to come into the town. If there's any potholes, fill in those potholes. If there is garbage on the streets, clean up the streets. If there are criminals, put those criminals in jail, because there's a king coming to your town." And this is the message that John has. Building a road is very much like the preparation of God. The preparation God must do in our hearts. They are both expensive, they both must deal with many different problems and environments, and they both take an expert engineer. John is a messenger with a message, and his message is, prepare the way for the king. John was not calling the people to prepare the roads. John was not asking them to fill in the valleys or take down the mountains or the potholes in the streets. John is saying, there's a king coming. Prepare your hearts. Prepare your hearts. Turn from sin and return to God. Be ready. He is coming. Be ready, he is coming. He's calling them to remove any obstacles in the way. He's calling them to prepare the highway of their hearts that Jesus might come in, that they might experience a relationship with the one true living God, that they might experience the salvation of the King. What is needed to prepare their hearts? How are they going to do this? John's solution to preparing their hearts is telling them to repent. Turn from their way. Repent from your pride, arrogance, lust, anger, greed, yearning for power, manipulation, unforgiveness, idolatry, the love of money, or just not even living a life that God is in, a life completely void of God. You're doing all the outward things that need to happen, but your life is actually completely void of God. Repent of it and return to Him. We talk a lot about revival. Renewal. We want to see the church come alive. We want to see the kingdom of God go forth into Cochrane and Alberta and Canada and throughout the world. We want to see revival. Repentance is the doorway to revival. Repentance is the preparation for the coming Jesus. Repentance is the entrance into deliverance. It is the doorway to deliverance. And it's a lot more than just saying, forgive me, I did something wrong. It's leaving that something behind and turning away from it and turning to God, living a life devoted to Him. Our family hops in our grand caravan just a caravan, I think. it's not grand. Every summer we hop into our caravan and we drive along this road for 13 hours and we get to southern Manitoba. Can anyone guess the highway that we drive on? The Highway 1, yes, the Trans-Canada Highway. And if you are a good Canadian, you will know that from Alberta to southern Manitoba, it looks exactly like that. No different. You can literally see for miles, my dad would say, as far as the eye can see. That is the road that we would travel for 13 hours. And what John is saying is make your heart like the Trans-Canada Highway. Prepare the way for the King. Do you see an obstacle in that picture? No, there's not one obstacle. It is long and straight. Make your heart like the Trans-Canada Highway. I know that sounds super cheesy, but it's true. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make his path straight. What valleys need to be filled up? What mountains need to be brought low? What crooked ways need to be made straight? When we repent, the crooked areas in our lives become straight. Those areas that don't align with the Word of God come back into alignment with His Word. And all flesh will see the salvation of God. This message of repentance, this message of leaving this life behind and returning to God is a message for all flesh. It's not just for a certain people group. It is literally for all nations, all tribes, all tongues. It's a message that work and houses and cars and money and camping and movies and mountains and parties and dance classes and drinking and hockey will not fulfill you. They will leave you empty. Leave your life behind and return to God. None of those things are bad. Well, maybe one of them I mentioned was bad. But those things in and of themselves aren't bad. But if they become what we live for, they will destroy us. And John's message is bring those things low. Make the path straight to your heart so that Jesus can come in, that you would encounter all that he has for you. As we eagerly await the coming of our Lord, as we long with expectation for our Savior to appear, there is a message. Prepare your hearts. I love what King David in Psalm 139 says. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." This morning I want to ask you, how do you need to prepare your heart? Is there any grievous way in you? Do you need to turn from certain mindsets? Do you need to repent of certain sin? Do you need to let go of something? Are you constantly impatient with your kids? Are you an incredibly angry person? Do you need to forgive someone? Are you holding on to bitterness? What mountains are standing in the way of you encountering Jesus? As we close today, I'll invite the team to come back up and lead us. As we close, I want to leave you with these words, and I found them incredibly appropriate for this season. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men employ their songs while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love. Would you stand with me? God, I thank you for the message of John. I thank you that you've sent a messenger out for us to prepare the way for you to come. And God, I pray this morning that your Spirit would be moving in a strong and powerful way in this place. That Holy Spirit, you would be bringing down the mountains in our lives. You would remove the obstacles in our lives, maybe sin, maybe wrong ways of thinking, unforgiveness, wounds that we haven't allowed you to heal. And God, this morning we want to make your path straight. We want to allow you to enter our hearts, our lives. We want to return to you. And we want to live for you alone, O God. And so we ask this morning that you would show us the areas of our lives where we need to return, where we need to repent and come back to you. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.